This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're with the Morning Run here with Kusu Chuang, Wong Xiaoning, and myself, Roshan Gunderson. In about 15 minutes, we've got the KLCI opening, as well as market analysis with Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Now, with markets at all-time highs and tech stocks beating expectations, does he see any parallels to the dot-com era? We'll find out in about 15 minutes. But in the meantime, let's talk about governance efforts in corporate Malaysia. We've spoken about the rise of shareholder activism here in Malaysia. Well, now the Securities Commission of Malaysia has put out a checklist for shareholders to promote dialogue with their board of directors during annual general meetings.
Okay, and it's a move forward, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, right, you do need much more shareholder activism. So this checklist relates primarily to resolutions to commonly table AGMs, appointment of directors, approval of directors' fees, and appointment of auditors, which are very, very important. And the SE also reminds shareholders to engage on boards on issues including sustainability and the new thing, anti-corruption measures.
Well, the SE chairman, Dato' Zaid Zaid, is correct in pointing out that shareholders have a really important role in driving responsible corporate behaviour, because if the people that invest in your business are not making the right noises when you perform certain transgressions at company level, then who will? Because obviously your employees can't, right? By and large. And I think this behaviour is very important when it comes to institutional investors, because they're the ones who have put in literally millions and millions of dollars into your business.
And the checklist was developed in collaboration with the Institutional Investors Council Malaysia and the Minority Shareholders Watch Group. So for more thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Devin Hanson Evanson, the CEO of the Minority Shareholders Watch Group. Welcome to the show, Devin Hanson. What are your thoughts on these guidelines? Did the SE incorporate all of your suggestions?
Thank you so much. Yes, this, as you rightfully pointed out, the checklist was jointly developed by the SC, the Institutional Investors Council, and the Minority Shareholders Watch Group. So we did have interaction. We did discuss the template, the format, and kind of items to be included in this checklist. So to me, it's a very comprehensive checklist. It's the first time, I think, in this country that we have come up with such a checklist to help shareholders, to guide shareholders as to the type of questions that they should be asking, the areas that they should be looking at when they are perusing the annual reports and the corporate governance statements.
And why did the SE have to issue these new guidelines? Is our level of shareholder activism too low, or is it because our shareholders are not aware of their rights or what they should do at AGMs?
A bit of both. Compared to other countries, there's room for improvement at the shareholder level when it comes to shareholder activism. And yes, you're right, some of them are not really aware of their rights under the code, under the laws, and under the listing requirements. What are the kind of questions that they can ask?
In terms of the Institutional and Investor Council, which has been around for a couple of years already, Devin, have you seen a step up in activity from institutional investors in terms of making their voice heard in the board, in annual general meetings?
Okay, traditionally, institutional investors, what they do is they seek for private audiences with the public listed companies where they can highlight their concerns. But what we have noticed recently is that institutional investors have become a bit more vocal. They are prepared to articulate their thoughts, even express their displeasure on certain activities taken on by the public listed companies. And that bodes well for shareholder activism. See, minority shareholders at the end of the day are minorities. Whereas the institutional investors, through their sheer shareholding, are in a better position to shape and influence better corporate governance practices.
And with all this, is this a significant stepping stone for better corporate accountability and governance? Or how big a step is this in the right direction?
It is a very big step in the right direction. Like I said earlier, and like you pointed out, this is the first time a checklist has been formulated and made available to shareholders, especially minority shareholders. Now there's guidance as to the kind of areas they should be looking at and the kind of questions that they should be asking. If you look at the checklist itself, it's very friendly. It's a three-pager and under three broad headings. What do you do before the AGM? Entitled pre-AGM. what you do at the AGM, entitled AGM, and the third one is post AGM.
Yeah, Devin, in terms of your inter-party, related party transactions, inter-company loans, things like that, used to be the favourite transgression among offenders. What kind of new offences have you seen in recent years, and how can minority shareholders address them in the AGMs?
The usual concerns are in relation to related party transactions. If the related party transaction breaches thresholds under the listing requirements, the public listed company has to call for an extraordinary general meeting to get the related party transaction approved. This is where shareholders, both institutional and minorities, can ask the hard questions to make sure there's no depreciation of value in their investments. RPTs continue to be a concern. There are good RPTs, and of course, as you know, there are not so good RPTs.
And what other steps do you think companies, authorities, and the government should take to ensure better shareholder activism then?
Okay, this, as I said earlier, this is an excellent first step. First time, there's guidelines and checklists for shareholders. Other than that, of course, there's one area where we are looking at now, Minority Shareholders Watch Group. This is in the area of the venue for general meetings. There's no restriction as to where a public listed company can hold its general meeting, AGM or EGM. And there is a risk that certain public listed companies can hold the AGM or EGM in a remote place. And if they hold AGMs and EGMs in remote places, it does not really facilitate shareholder activism. The shareholders may be just put off by the sheer traveling, maybe more than 100 kilometers away from, KL or whatever it is. And so they'll be put off and they may not attend, they may not be able to articulate their questions and, ask follow-up questions. So this one area where we are looking at, we are wondering what could be done to encourage public listed companies to hold their general meetings at more facilitative venues as opposed to really remote venues.
All right, Devin Essen, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us this morning. That was Devin Essen Evanson, CEO of the Minority Shareholders Watch Group. And he, at the last question, that highlighted something that Kusu Chuang was talking about earlier. There are lots of things to highlight here. And Chuang, you were talking about that exactly, the logistical challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's the one time in the calendar that you get the chance to go and grill the board of directors and even senior management team who usually are present in the building. If you forego that chance, or if you can't take this opportunity to go and grill them because it's too far away or the parking is inadequate or it costs too much or it's in the Golden Triangle, it's not in the Golden Triangle and you can't take public transport there, you're denying minority shareholders, in fact, shareholders of all colour and stripe, a chance to meet them. And it's obviously, this is a huge transgression of corporate governance principles.
No, I looked at the checklist and I agree. I think it's a very good checklist, a very practical one.
It's readable as well, as you said.
It's readable. Now, the thing is how to get it out to the public. How do we get it out to shareholders, right? They need to look at this copy, bring it with them and also maybe do some homework as a shareholder, because you buy a share, what do you want? You want the share price to do well, right? And there is lots of evidence out there that companies with better corporate governance tend to do better in the longer term with regards to their share price performance. So as a shareholder, you need to exercise that. You need to force the board to think about all the decisions they make and be held accountable for them.
Yeah, what these also guidelines also do is maybe potentially, hopefully, increase the quality of questions that you see at AGMs. Too often times you go to AGMs and you see these minorities stand up. Oh, I'm Mr. Leong all the way from Baga and Lalang. I've got one lot in the company. Why is your bihun no chili this year? Do you know what I mean? Now, it's a waste of
but
people's time.
But on the
time.
Flip side, you have some people who have really studied
the annual report and
will
more
ask
power to
really
them.
Difficult questions. So I admire these guys who come prepared.
And apparently we may have asked a question that was too difficult on our poll this morning. I think this is one of the least performing polls that we've done, 56 votes in. Does greater shareholder activism promote better corporate governance? 66% say yes, 20% said no, and 12.5% just don't know, with 2% don't care. I think we have a general feel, that the yes camp is strong. And I'm being told that the Twitter poll was down, so maybe not entirely.
It was like the caucus.
Twitter let us down there. Anyway, we've got more coverage coming up after this, including the KLCI opening, as well as market analysis with Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, with markets at all-time highs and technology stocks beating expectations. Are there any parallels to the dot-com era? Stay tuned to find out. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.